The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus is about such risky business here that he has to take his apostles into the nether parts of the region. He has to take them a good 2 days' walk away from everybody else so that he might put these particular questions to them. We see how they answer when Jesus says, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And it should shock us, perhaps, their response. Like, what do they say? What do they not say? They don't say, you know, Jesus, they see you as this great teacher, and they're really interested in what you have to say to them. They like your advice. They don't say, you know, Jesus, they think you're a really nice person, and like kind of like a teddy bear, and they just want to be around you. They enjoy you. Like, this is, they don't say that stuff. What they say is, "You're like one of the prophets." If you've ever seen that movie, Jesus of Nazareth, that I think the movie is like 8 hours long, but it's one of the best depictions of the life of Jesus I think there is. You see that this figure of John the Baptist just crying out, right? Just almost like shouting everybody down, challenging everybody, and best of all, challenging the king, right? Challenging the rulers of the day who have strayed from the path of God and have embraced wickedness. They're profiting themselves, not serving the people that they were supposed to serve by virtue of their position. Like John the Baptist taking it at Herod, right, as hard as he can. That's who they're saying Jesus is. A prophet, not in the sense that he's, say, predicting the future, but a prophet in that he is God's mouthpiece, speaking God's word to the world. So that's who the crowd think Jesus is. And so Jesus asked then his apostles, right? It's the inner circle now. Is their view of him any different? And yes, it is. Because according to Peter, he's not simply God's mouthpiece. He's God's Messiah. So he's not simply there to challenge these kings and their wickedness, to bring order back to disorder. He's there to be the king to replace those kings. And so here the disciples are launching on really this messianic movement, this mission by which they seek to see Jesus installed as the King of Israel. And if the King of Israel, so also the Lord of the entire world. Okay, this is what we get from this particular this passage. This is why it's such risky business, why Jesus had to take them away, because he is there to supplant the world, not just the worldly rulers, but also the temple authorities. So he has to be away from them. And this is why he says at the end, "Don't tell anyone that I am the Christ." His time had not yet come. Right? His mission is not yet launched. And he knows what's awaiting him when that message gets out. And that's his own crucifixion. His end will be suffering and death under the authority of the worldly rulers and the temple authorities. There's a lot more in this passage, right? A second layer is there's a lot of temple language here. Okay, so Jesus is establishing his church. It's an ecclesia. It's people who are called out and gathered together. Jesus is establishing his church on rock. What do the people of Israel believe about the temple, but that is established on rock, the rock of Mount Zion? And Jesus has said just a few chapters before here in the Gospel of Matthew that the wise man builds his house on rock. Here he names Peter, right, Simon, Peter, Cephas, rock, or some people say Rocky. I say Rocky because I like those movies. This is Rocky, right? I mean, think about Rocky. That's kind of like Jesus, but even Jesus is even tougher, right, than Rocky, right? Who was it? Ivan Drago says he's steel. Okay, Jesus is steel, you know? Okay, anyway, I won't get into the movies. Okay. That homily will never end, the Jesus as rock, you know, Jesus showing us how he's Rocky. He's building his house on Rocky. He's building his house on Peter. But not simply on Peter. Look at Peter. He's a mess, right? Always. He doesn't have, say, strength of character, but he has the eagerness. He has the right disposition. He has the humility, right? The excitement to venture out to give witness to Jesus. It's actually here in humility, right? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Simon Peter. Right? This isn't your own doing that you said this. This is my heavenly Father. And so on his confession of faith, faith in Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus can build his church. Jesus can start to gather his people on that confession of faith. Those who see Jesus as the Messiah. Okay, other temple language quickly is the gates of the netherworld were thought to be on the temple site. So Jesus here is establishing his new temple. Yes, on Peter, but Peter's confession of faith in Jesus. Jesus it is who is the new living temple. Why is this important? Because the temple is the place where heaven and earth come together. The temple is the place where God and man meet. And in Jesus now, in a new way, in a definitive way, in a way that the temple could only foreshadow and predict, Jesus is the meeting place between God and man. Jesus is the coming together of heaven and earth. And so it's right that Jesus is the temple and his church is built on the confession of faith of those who see Jesus as Lord, not just Lord of Israel, but their own Lord, Lord of my heart, Lord of my life, Lord of the world. And we make that confession of faith today with St. Peter. That is the very substance of the church. We who have submitted our lives to Jesus, to the God we have encountered in Jesus, to Jesus who is the Messiah. But it doesn't stop there, because the temple was always the place for God's renewal of his entire creation. And so now, the church is that place. Peter is that place. The confession of faith in Jesus is the place of renewal of God's entire creation. And how does it happen? It happens by our coming before Jesus today, our coming before God today and every day, but here and making this confession of faith in humility, turning over our lives, whole and entire to God, through and with and in Jesus, in this sacrifice of the Mass, so that our hearts can be renewed by the love of God, and we can take that love and have it push us out through those doors. Go forth, the Mass is ended, we go forth to bring that love to life in the world that so desperately needs it.